it now gives us the background to start our discussion, the final part of our dua, the sixth part. Yes, very, very important for us, the sixth part. And it begins, as we have already said, with a complete short surah of the Holy Quran, which is Surah Ikhlas, Surah 112, almost to the end of the Quran, because there are only two more chapters after that of the Quran. And Surah Ikhlas can be translated as sincerity, purity, unity, yes, the oneness of God. It's a very, very important surah for us. So, Qul huwallahu ahad. Say, Qul. So, the Prophet is being asked again by God to tell people. Obviously, people are interested in knowing about God. So, it says, tell them, He is one. Yes? Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. He is absolutely self-sufficient, self-reliant. You know, he's absolute, he's, you know, everything depends on him, but he doesn't depend on anybody. So that's Qul huwallahu ahad, Allahu samad. And then, lam yalid, lam yulad. He didn't beget anybody. He hasn't given birth to anybody. And he himself is not born of anybody. So I think that sentence will trigger something in your minds, that in the background, of course, is also the fact that the previous prophet, Hazrat Isa, the fifth great prophet, nothing. His time was coming to an end, and during his 600-700 years, people had, you know, contaminated his teachings, and they were talking about him being the son of God, etc., right? So here in this ayah, he did not beget, nor was he begotten. It's really telling you very strictly that God does not have any physical attribute. And the final verse is, and وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And there is none equal to him. Right? Now, whenever Jamaat is thinking about these words, the meanings, the zahiri meanings of the translation of the ayat, they get a bit frightened, you know, and they think, oh, we are doing something wrong, because, you know, we are prostrating to the imam and we are obeying the imam. But throughout the dua, you have seen, haven't you, that God, the absolute, and his vicegerent or khalifa, they are always together, always. If there had been no Prophet Muhammad, or if there had been no prophets before Hazrat Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how would have people known about the existence of God? Nobody would have known about the existence of God, let alone that he is one and he does not beget, and nor was he begotten, and none is like unto him. It is through the teachings of the Prophet that we began to understand the reality of God, the essence of God, as far as we can with our little partial intellect. So this is very important for us as Ismailis, because this is a unique, like you heard in the summary. Maulana Hazrat Imam himself said in 1994 that there are certain unique characteristics of the Shia interpretation. And the Shia interpretation is that the Holy Quran is not an easy book for any fulano to pick up and read on their own and understand on their own. Yes, it's not. It's a very difficult book. It has tanzim, it has ta'wil, it has a zahir, it has a batin, not one batin, but seven, sometimes 70, and sometimes more than 70 batin. It's a dynamic book. It is a book that needs interpretation according to the time and space. And then if I now build on that and tell you that the Holy Quran covers this world, physical world, and also talks about the spiritual world. And none of us know anything about the spiritual world. So if the Imam were not to interpret for us, who would understand those verses about the spiritual world? Alam-e-Amr, as it is called in the Quran. We can see the Alam-e-Khalq, we can see the world of creation with our physical senses, but we can't see with our physical senses the Alam-e-Amr, the world of command, the spiritual world. And because of this, the Quran has what we call bipolar language. Bipolar. In other words, if somebody is not really experienced, they will see contradictions in the Quran. They are apparent contradictions. They are not real. They are apparent contradictions. For instance, you all know, don't you, that at one place God says that he created creation in 6 days and then he established himself on the throne. He created creation in 6 days. And then in another place he says, when God wants to create something, all he has to do is to say, kun, be, and it is. Now, you see, one ayah tells you his creation takes 6 days. And another ayah is telling you that if you want to create something, kun, and it is. So this appears to be a contradiction, doesn't it? So here, the six-day creation is about the physical world, the Alam-e-Khalq. But the be, and it is about the spiritual world. But we have to know that. And who would teach that to you except the rasikun fil ilm, those who are well-grounded in knowledge, the Prophet and his progeny, the Imams. They are the true teachers of the Holy Quran. And you know, that's what our constitution reaffirms again and again. So now, knowing this in the background of your minds, Suratul Ikhlas is there. God is absolute, he is self-sufficient, he is one, nothing is like him. Yes, because God is not a personality, he is not a physical being. But on the other hand, the Quran also talks about the hand of God, the eyes of God, the shin of God, the side of God. God comes, God sits on a throne. These are all physical attributes. So how do you reconcile these two aspects? We saw the same thing in the ayat of Nur, because, you know, that's a very favorite ayat of the Ismaili community, right? Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. But it's not just Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Then it goes on to say an example, a similitude of his light is as though there is a niche in which there is a lamp. So you have absolute light, but you also have embodied light. Light in a being, in a human being. Now you see, this is how we study the Quran. About the 1400 odd years of Islam, you know, many, many people have gone astray because of this particular characteristic of the Holy Quran. Or they have ended up accepting half the Quran and rejecting half the Quran. The Ismaili community is the only community that does not reject any part of the Quran. We accept all of it. And it is extremely well known, you know, amongst the scholars who study Islam. They all know that the Ismaili concept of God is extremely, extremely pure. Yeah, how? I will quote to you a Dinan now, because some of you are well versed in Dinans. In one Dinan, Pirsaluddin says, Jene nanam, natam, narang, Naru. Jene Nanam. He has no name, so you can't even call him Allah. Jene Nanam. Natam. He doesn't have a place. He has no rang, he has no color. And he has no roof, he has no form. That is your absolutely pure unity, oneness. But you know, that sort of unity is very difficult to grasp unless you have reached the spiritual status of Pir Sadruddin. And this is why Orientalist scholars, you will see, those of you who have read things which have come out of the IIS as well as other organizations, you know, the Orientalist scholars say about us Ismailis, they say they have an unknowable God. Unknowable. You can't know him. This is their thinking. Our thinking is very, very different. Yeah? Our thinking is from the time of Maulana Ali. He or she who recognizes his own soul recognizes God. That is our teaching. But the poor Orientalist scholars who don't understand the batin of the Ismaili Tariqa, they say that we have Ismailis believing in an indescribable God, in an unknowable God. But that's because they can't engage with how pure our understanding of Tawheed is. You know, we don't ascribe anything. We cannot describe God physically or spiritually or intellectually, because God is not something that your mind can cope with. So now we come to our understanding of this surah, okay? Say he is one, Allah is one, and none is like him, he is Allah Samad, etc. How do we understand that? And I think for that, I would say to each one of you, it is compulsory, absolutely compulsory for each one of you to know the content of chapter 8 of the memoirs of Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah. If you have not yet read this chapter 15 to 20 times, then my humble suggestion to you is to start today. Just that chapter. I'm not asking you to read the whole of the memoirs. That's up to you. I'm asking you to read chapter 8, because that is the Islamic concept and my role as Imam. And once again, like the Quran, it's not an easy chapter. If you don't read it carefully, you can misunderstand it also. And in that chapter is this description. Look what Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah says. He says, Islam's basic principle can only be defined as monorealism and not as monotheism. Monotheism, belief in one God. Mono, one, theos, God. He says Islam is it is not monotheism, but it is monorealism, one reality, which in our language you would call ek hakikat, ek, yak hakikat, one reality. And then he gives an example. Consider, for example, the opening declaration of every Islamic prayer. Allahu Akbar. What does that mean? And this is where the difficulty comes. Look, there can be no doubt that the second word of the declaration, i.e. Akbar, yeah, the second word of the declaration likens the character of Allah to a matrix which contains all and gives existence to the infinite, to space, to time, to the universe, to all active and passive forces imaginable to life and to the soul. When you read those words, you reel from the impact of those words. And then to understand that even more, and I may have told you about this, I don't remember now, that I asked you maybe to read the foreword of Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah, written in 1934 for J.R. Rasboy's book, Muhammad and Mercy to All Nations. And he elaborates this understanding of Allahu Akbar even more. I'm going to read it out here now. He says that, take the central principle of Allahu Akbar. Here, we find on one side divinity, on the other side infinity. What is greater? What is greater? Time, space, the starry heavens, intelligence, knowledge. Wherever existence goes, there is greaterness extends. Greaterness here, to anyone who understands the implications of the Arabic language, does not mean greatness as literally translated into English. It doesn't mean that. It means that everything else is within the womb of the greater. Everything else is maintained and sustained by divine power, including the furthest spaces of imagination. Now, I understand completely that, you are reeling from the impact of these words. Every time I read them, and I think I've read them more than 50, 80 times, I reel from the, how do we understand that? Especially because, unfortunately, we have been using a very, very simplistic meaning of this tasbih, Allahu Akbar, in our Bibi Fatima tasbih recitation. We say, Allah is great. No, Akbar does not mean great. It means greater. It doesn't even mean greatest, because greatest is also limiting. Greater is far more fluid. It can extend more and more. So, for instance, if the scientists tell you, I watch a little bit of the Universe program on BBC 2 last Wednesday night. And the man is telling us, a scientist who is doing this program, he's saying that in our Milky Way, there are 200 billion stars. And then he says, outside the Milky Way, there are trillions. So, your mind is blown by even the figures. God, the concept of Ismaili is about Allahu Akbar, is that Allah is greater than these billions and trillions that the scientists are talking about. Nothing is outside His will. Nothing. Not even a mustard seed grain. Everything is within. That is the Ismaili concept of Allahu Akbar. And similarly, our tasbih, Subhanallah, also in the Bibi Fatima tasbih. What do we get as a translation? Glory be to God. He doesn't need you and me to glorify Him. Eh? Glory be to God is not the correct translation. Subhanallah means to purify God from every description, whether spiritual or physical. You cannot describe God. So, this concept that the Ismailis have is very, very deep, very profound. It's an intellectual challenge. It is a spiritual search. It is not something you can talk about today and then forget about it. It is something that should be constantly in your mind, in your ibadah, because we need to understand this concept thoroughly. And how does the office of imamat, how does the personality of the imam fit into all this. So now I'm going to give you a quotation from one of our imams to show you how our teachings have always kept God, Allahu Akbar, in its place. But then what is our relationship with the imam of this time? Now listen carefully. This is a quotation from Maulana Muhammad al-Baqir. And half of this quotation, half of it, yeah, 50% of it is in this book, Contemplation and Action by Sayyidina Nasiruddin al-Tusi, which has been published by the Institute. And this is the translation by Jalal Badakhshani. Yeah, half the quotation is there. And that is on page 38. First, I'm going to tell you the quotation in Arabic, okay? Because that's what the language of the Imam was at that time. Maulana Muhammad al-Baqir. You know, Maulana Muhammad al-Baqir is supposed to be the author of a book called Ummul Kitab, Mother of Books. It's called Ummul Kitab. And in Central Asia, I know that when the Jamaat, when they were young, they were told, you must not read this book because you will go blind if you read it. Ummul Kitab, it's called, right? It's attributed to Maulana Muhammad al-Baqir. And very strangely, it has been translated into Italian by Professor Franco Pani Ronconi. Okay, I haven't got time to share stories about that, so I'll just leave it at that. I go to the quotation. Maulana Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam said, Ma qila fillahi fa huwa fina. This bit is translated on page 38 of this book, Contemplation and Action. Now, the second half is, وَمَا كِيلَ فِنَّا فَهُوَ فِي بُلَغَيَ مِنْ شِيَاتِنَا. Okay? Now, you will be more interested in the translation. So the translation means, whatever is there about Allah, Maulana Muhammad al-Baqir says, whatever is there about Allah is about us. Jalal Badakhshani has, Dr. Jalal Badakhshani, he has translated it as, whatever pertains to God pertains to us. But that's the only half that is in the book. Now the second half is, and whatever is about us is about our advanced or elevated Shias, followers. Now, I wonder how you have understood that. So, the way it should be understood, I think, yeah, you may have different ideas. The way it should be understood is that wherever the Holy Quran talks about Allah, 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 the word Allah is actually referring to the Imam of the time, because we've just said that in the Ismaili Tariqah, God doesn't have Nana Natam. He doesn't have a name. And we have discussed from the beginning of the dua sessions, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, by the name of Allah. His name is the embodied light. His name is the prophet or the imam of the time. Because Ismailis believe that nothing of God can be without life and intellect. They are living names. They are names full of intellect. They speak. They guide. So, this is the first half of this quotation. And the second half, Maulana Muhammad al-Baqir says, and what is about us? So, for instance, the Quran talks about Rasqun Filil, Ulil Amra, Ulil Albab, Ahl al-Zikr. All these are titles of the Imams, right? The Imam says, actually, those titles are about our highly advanced, spiritually elevated mu'mins, Shias. And now, to understand that, we should look at Well, and so thou shalt teach it, because they are in English for us. And nobody can say, oh, I don't understand the language. You all know what Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah has said in his memoirs about soul. See, this is the same chapter. Yes? He says, Islamic doctrine goes further than the other great religions, for it proclaims the presence of soul, perhaps minute, but nevertheless existing in an embryonic state in all existence, in matter, in animals, trees, and space itself, right? He says, every particle, every atom has its own spiritual relationship with the all-powerful soul of God. And then he goes on and he says that Islam acknowledges the existence of angels, of great souls who have developed themselves to the highest possible planes of the human soul and ayah. See, all human beings are not on the same level spiritually. Some are very, very high. So we are talking about advanced moments. Yeah, we are talking about elevation, progress. And he says in the Usul-e-Din Farman, you know, I have been marking all these things. He says, once you are able to understand your real capacities, and once you grasp the truth, you will be able to attain freedom. Freedom, yeah? Ismailis don't just yearn to go to paradise. Ismailis yearn to be free. And then later on he gives the example of the bird in a cage. I can't go into that now. But he says, in order to understand the status of God, you must first understand your own status as a human being. Your own status as a human being. And what else has he said? In the 1945 mission conference, All Africa Ismaili Association mission conference in Dar es Salaam, what did he say? He said that there is one ayat in the Quran, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are from Allah and unto Him is our return. He said, this Quranic ayat contains more meaning and wisdom than the entire Quran put together. These are the amazing, mind-blowing teachings of the Ismaili Tariqa. He or she who knows herself or himself knows Allah more, right? This is recognition of self in order to recognize God. And it can only be done through the ta'lim, the help, the guidance of the imam of the time. The imam's ta'lim lights the murid's path to spiritual enlightenment and vision. So this is something which is known, you know. It's not something which is unknown to others, right? I want to share with you a true story. This is not an imaginary anecdote. This is a true story, and it concerns Maulana Sultan Shah again. And I'll give you the exact name. His name was Muhammad Kamil Hussein. He was an Egyptian, and he was a very learned person. He had edited Ismaili literature. He had edited the books of Sayyidina Hamiduddin Kirmani, which are the most difficult in Arabic, right? So he had a good knowledge of what the Ismailis believe. And he has written a little book called, in Arabic, the book is Tariq Taifatul Ismailiyya. So he's even written a book. And this incident, which I'm telling you about, he mentions it in this book, which is in Arabic. Okay. He asked Maulana Sultan Shah, you know that Maulana Sultan Shah used to go to Cairo very often, once every year at least, if not more. So on one of those visits, he requested Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah to give him a chance to interview him. So Maulana Sultan Shah agreed. And he asked all sorts of questions, right? And he writes in this book that he was amazed by Maulana Sultan Shah's breadth and spaciousness of knowledge, his knowledge of everything, including the Quran, his knowledge of politics, his knowledge of social things, everything. He was completely amazed by Maulana Sultan Shah's breadth of knowledge. At the end, he said to Maulana Sultan Shah, Your Highness, if you are not angry with me, there is one question I would like to ask you. So Maulana Sultan Shah said to him, No, you can ask me whatever you want. Right? Ask me. So he asked this question. He said, Your Highness, your murids, your followers in India consider you a living god. Why do you allow them to do so? So he says that when he asks this question, Maulana Sultan Shah threw his head back. And he laughed, and he laughed, and he laughed so much that tears began to run down his cheeks. So finally, when he had controlled his laughter, he said, Do you want the answer to this question? So Muhammad Kamil Hussain said, Yes, that's why I asked it, Your Highness. So Maulana Sultan Shah said, In India, people consider the cow god. And then he said in Arabic, Alastu khairum min al-bakara. Am I not better than a cow? Muhammad Kamil Hussain writes, he says, I did not know how to understand this answer, but I didn't have the courage to pursue asking anymore. So it's well known. Everybody knows that, Ismailis Ahad Ali Alahis, and Maulana Sultan Shah in the 1945 conference, he said clearly, Ali Allah is correct, but you people are ignorant. You don't understand it. Yeah, and we are always afraid, if our children say something like this at school, what will happen, But this is something which is known, which is not something unknown, to the extent that Maulana Hazi Imam, look, we say, she's talking about Maulana Sultan Shah, now Maulana Sultan Shah has changed Jama. So I'm going to quote to you what Maulana Hazi Imam said. Listen carefully. This is the Andrew Gardner interview, called Talking Personally, which was done on Thames TV in London in 1983, Silver Jubilee time. So Andrew Gardner, he was very, very polite. He says to Harima, one of the myths surrounding you is that some people in the West think of you as a living god. Not only is that not true, it is also blasphemous. That was his question or comment, and Hazrat Imam gave this answer. Hazrat Imam said, absolutely. I mean, as you know, the faith of Islam was revealed at a time when the Arabian continent was idolatrous, and idolatry, all forms of idolatry are totally prohibited by Islam. Then it is certainly true to say that the Western world doesn't necessarily understand the theology of Shiism, nor indeed the theology of many mystical sects, whether they are Shia or Sunni or Christian. Mysticism in its essence is difficult. I would say to you that it's not only the Western world who finds mysticism difficult. I think you can say that about a very large percentage of the Ismaili Jamaat. And this is why it's so important to have knowledge, right? So what have I said so far? I think I've taken you very far. Yes, from your own understanding when you first heard this Surah 112, Surah Al-Ikhlas, purity, unity. Allah is one. He is absolute. He does not beget, nor was he begotten, and none is like unto him. This is absolutely correct. He is Allahu Akbar. He is greater than anything you can think of. Greater, greater, greater. And this will be never limited, because the more you discover, the more his greatness will extend. But at the same time, this remote concept of God in the Ismaili Tariqa, it is brought right near you in the form of the embodied light, the Imam of the time or the Prophet of the time, who is amongst you. He is selected by that absolute God. He is selected by him from amongst his creatures to guide and to enlighten us. And this is the absolute teaching of the Ismaili Tariqa. Okay? Because now, the minute you finish this Suratul Ikhlas, what happens? You go into Allahumma bihaqi Muhammadin al-Mustafa wa Aliyin al-Murtaza wa Fatima al-Zahra wal-Hasani wal-Hussein, and then you go into the entire genealogy of this presence, the cycle of Nabi Muhammad Mustafa up to the 49th Imam. So the message is very clear. Yes, there is God who has no name, no place, no rang, no roop, no color, no form. But there is also his guidance or his presence. His nur is not remote. His nur is here, right amongst us. That's why perhaps the Quran says that God is nearer to you than your jugular vein. But you cannot understand any of this, as Maulana Sultan Shah says, unless you understand your own status as a human being. And that is very difficult. You know that, right? That is very difficult. You know, we think of ourselves as very small creatures. You know, Maulana Ali, amongst all his great contributions, he was a very great poet as well. And in his divan, in his collection of poetry, he actually says, "Oh human being, do you consider yourself a small body when the entire macrocosm is contained within you? This is the potential of a human being. This is what faith is for. This is what religion is for. Religion is not an encumbrance. It's not a, you know, hard to, you know, it's about us. It's about our self-discovery of who we really are. We are not those creatures who spend their lives, you know, being lazy, gossiping about people, this and all these unethical things. That's not what we are. We are in the image of God. We are Surate Rahman. And this is only possible if you have divine guidance always amongst you. I'm going to stop here. I thought I would finish the rest of the part, but I think it's too heavy, perhaps, right? So I'm going to stop here, and then we'll spend one more session on finishing the dua, okay? Because I'm sure there will be questions now.